Well, hey, what's up, Victory Live? I'm Pastor Jacob Sheriff. If you're here in one of our locations for the first time, A, you picked a really cold weekend to be there, but B, this is going to be awesome because here's the deal. Let me tell you what's up. So through all that crazy weather that you're experiencing, we were up here in Colorado and our flights got canceled and we could not make it back to our home church. But we said, you know what? No, we're going to be a part of our home church this weekend. So from Colorado, from Woodland Park, Colorado, we are joining together with new brothers and sisters with us to receive the word. So here's the deal. Wherever you're at, whatever location you're in, thank you for being there. Let's receive the word of God from Pastor Dwayne Sheriff. So if you would, give our pastor a really, really warm welcome.
Okay. Hallelujah. Woo! Welcome to Victory Life. This is awesome. We've had people over the years talk about coming to Durant, being a part of Victory Life, but we just brought Durant to you. Amen. Thank you so much. Would you do one more thing for me? Would you please welcome all 8 of our locations that are watching right now? We love you guys. Give them a warm welcome. Amen. Praise God. Wow. Man, I miss you. We're having a great time in Colorado, and Sue and I have just missed you. We've got all the grandkids with us, but our hearts are with you. And while it disappointed me that our flight was canceled, if there was anywhere that I could be trapped on earth, it would be at Karis Bible College. Amen. Amen. So I just want to take a moment to say thank you to the praise team. Wow. It was over the top. You guys are awesome. I want to thank all the media people that are making this possible. It takes a lot for a live feed to go out to 8 different locations with quality and things of that nature. So I'm very blessed, very grateful, very thankful. And I really believe I have something on my heart for us as a church and a part of what church is all about. And church culture, healthy church culture. And why do we assemble together? Why has God said that we are to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some are, but to provoke one another to love now and to good works? And so what's been on my heart is this issue of strongholds, this issue of strongholds. And I want to begin a series on this session concerning this topic of strongholds, because it's been on my heart for a few weeks, and I've shared pieces of it here and there. I shared a little bit here at Karis Bible College, but I want to take a few hours and really look at this and break this down, because the Lord has taught me some things in my personal life about bringing strongholds down where I can become more effective in the kingdom of God. And you're a part of Victory Life because you not only love God, you love people, and you want to be equipped and you want to be yielded to the Holy Spirit and the flow of the Holy Spirit, and you want the Word of God to work deep inside of you and through you to make a difference in other people's lives. And many times it's strongholds that hinders that flow of God in our life. It's strongholds that keep us from not only ourselves personally walking in the promises of God, but it hinders us from being used by God. There have been many strongholds that God has brought down in my heart and in my life and taught me many things through those experiences. I've experienced bringing strongholds down that are over churches. There can be strongholds in your heart and in your life that, again, need to be brought down according to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And by the way, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, or if you have some other gadget that you're affectionately addicted to, you can go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this is where Paul talked about pulling down strongholds. And again, I've discovered that strongholds can need to be pulled down in our personal lives, strongholds over a church, that churches can literally be laboring under a stronghold, and a part of assembling together is using spiritual weapons to bring those strongholds down. I've discovered strongholds over cities. An entire city is bound by a specific stronghold that needs to be pulled down. And today our nation is laboring under some incredible strongholds that are bringing her down. See, the scriptures, and I haven't read them yet, but the scriptures teach us that we as the people of God through spiritual weapons are to pull strongholds down. And I'm here to tell you, if you don't learn to pull strongholds down, they'll pull you down. They'll pull you down. So this is important. And again, I'm going to lay a foundation today, and we're going to work from that foundation. I may say a lot of things just out of my heart, but my intent is to come back over the series then and explain those things. Explain those things. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll start in verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base or meek or humble among you, but being absent, I am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as though we walk according to the flesh. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He's talking to Christians. This was written to the church. It was written to the church at Corinth. And he's saying, again, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He did not say we don't war. There is a warfare going on. We just don't war after the flesh. And then he says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we see here that the Apostle Paul is encouraging us as the people of God to engage in a form of warfare. And that in that engaging, we have spiritual weapons. And those are some of the things I'm going to be going over in the next few weeks. And that is, what are these weapons that we even have? That Christ has died and bought and paid for, and that He has given us to bring down whatever these strongholds are. You know, I've discovered that many of God's people do not know the weaponry that God's made available to pull strongholds down. And in some cases, again, aren't even sure what strongholds are. And I'm telling you, we need to bring them down, and we need to help others bring them down in their lives. The name of Jesus is one of the weapons that's not carnal that God has given us to bring strongholds down. The armor of God are the weapons that God has given us to bring strongholds down. Again, communion and assembling together and taking and partaking of the Passover meal is literally a spiritual weapon that brings strongholds down in people's hearts and lives, and many times in our churches. And can you imagine if everyone who claimed to be a Christian was assembling together regularly in this culture and partaking of the Lord's meal? I'm telling you, that would be a weapon against all the strongholds that are being built in our culture today. Good church culture, coming together and loving each other, coming together and fellowshipping in the things of God, coming together and praying together, praying in the name of Jesus, praying in agreement. That's a spiritual weapon to help in our lives pull these strongholds down in our hearts, and again, sometimes even in our midst. So we need to know what these spiritual weapons are. We need to know how to engage in real spiritual warfare that brings strongholds down. I believe every time we get together, we're supposed to be bringing strongholds down. One of the reasons I love this ministry, and I thank God for Brother Andrew and what he does. That's what he does on a daily basis around the world, is use spiritual weapons, and our main spiritual weapon is the Word of God that brings strongholds down in people's lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So let's begin with laying that foundation, and I do want to read the New Living Translation to you, and if you have that translation, you can follow. They'll put that up for me. So that we can follow that. But listen to the New Living Translation. And I've got to get there now. Well, actually, my other gadget's already there. The New Living Translation. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, specifically verse 3. And I love this. We are human. Anybody here today human? Yeah. Okay. For some of you, that was an opportunity of a lifetime that you just missed. Now, I know some of our family, they're not sure if we're human, but I want to give you a chance to make a confession of faith and to stand on this. How many of you are human? All right, we are human. I love that. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We are human, but we do not wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. Listen now, because you need to remember these terms. To knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. What I'm all about in this call that God's put on my life and my assignment, my heart's desire is to destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. There are strongholds in people's minds, in that part of their heart, that keeps them from knowing God. I remember having strongholds even after I came to Christ, gave Him my heart, was born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. It was my spirit man that got born again. It was my spirit man that got sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. I still had some issues in my head. Anybody besides me ever had an issue in your head? Amen. You know, that's not bad news. People get mad at me when I say the problem's in your head. The good news is you can literally take every problem you have. Put your hands up. Everybody put all the locations. Put your hands up about like that. Everybody got their hands up? Now do this. Every problem is between your two hands. You got some stuff up there that are obstacles to knowing God. Are you born again? Yes. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. But do you have some paradigms? Do you have some beliefs that one thought at a time, the devil has built a belief system that is an obstacle to knowing God? I had some of those in my life. One of the strongholds that had to be brought down, and it took some time, was I thought God was punishing me for all my sins. It was a stronghold on the inside of this part of my heart, the soul part of my heart. I thought God was punishing me for all my sins. So when someone would talk about how good God was, I would go, well, I don't know about that. That God loves you so much. Well, not me. And on it could go. With these obstacles, these paradigms, these beliefs that had become belief systems that were obstacles from me knowing the true nature of God. And it took the Word of God hammering those strongholds on that part of my soul and bringing them down that my heart was open to go, wow, God is not punishing me for any sin. He punished Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago for all my sin. He will never punish me. He will never curse me. He will never pour wrath out on me as His child, ever, ever. That is good news that a lot of people struggle with receiving because of a stronghold in their heart that God is punishing them for their sins. And that stronghold has to be brought down by these spiritual weapons. I had a stronghold of poverty. I just grew up poor. We were so poor, we couldn't pay attention. It was bad. And it was generational poverty. It was what some people would call a generational curse many times is a generational stronghold. It's we have known nothing but poverty. We've heard nothing but poverty. And Satan skillfully, one brick, one thought at a time, has built this huge stronghold that is an obstacle keeping me from knowing the God who wills above all things to prosper me and that I would be in health. And that stronghold had to be brought down, and it didn't come down easy. And I'll explain that as we go through this series and the bringing down of strongholds in my own life, in our church, and things of that nature. I love the next part of the verse is where I wanted to go. It says in verse 5, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture, everybody say capture. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. My name is Pastor Sheriff, and I'm an authorized representative from God Almighty on high, and I've been sent to capture, to arrest every rebellious thought against the knowledge of our great God. Hallelujah. That's what I do as a pastor, is I'm looking for some dumb thought you have, and I'm going to arrest it and pull it down where you can think clear and see clear how much God loves you, how good God's been to you, how much God's done for you, how He'll never leave or He'll never forsake you. He'll be with you even unto the ends of this world. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I'm glad all them strongholds have been removed where I can rejoice in that. I'm going to give God thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that You'll never leave or forsake me. And I see it. I know it because I had people help me arrest rebellious thoughts and make them obey Jesus. Well, nobody loves me. Yes, somebody does. God loves you. Cast that thought down. Don't let that thought morph into a high thing. Don't let that thought morph into an imagination. Don't let that thought then morph into a stronghold where you live your whole life believing God doesn't love you. One of the strongholds I had, now I've got to get out of this introduction, but I apologize. You guys make it easy to preach. One of the strongholds I had was I just couldn't see God using me. How could God use me? I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not fast enough. I was good looking. And then He delivered me from lying. Sorry, I had to grab that rebellious thought and bring it captive. I disqualified myself, and it wouldn't matter how much of the Bible I would read or how much a preacher would talk about how God wills to use me. It wouldn't get inside of me because of these strongholds I had that I'm not worthy. There's no way God can use me. I've messed up too much. I know the bitterness of my own heart. I grew up Pentecost, and I never heard a preacher ever confess a sin. I thought I was so unholy. I thought preachers were perfect. Well, there's a stronghold needs to be brought down. Amen. And I discovered they aren't. None of them are. None of us after the flesh are worthy to be used by God. None of us are qualified after the flesh to be used by God. So I had to pull that stronghold down of inferiority, pull that stronghold that was in my mind, a paradigm that every thought had to go through and be sifted through before it could get down into the depths of my heart. And those strongholds were keeping those good thoughts from getting down into my heart because of the strongholds in my heart of I'm unworthy, I'm undone, I'm not good enough. God wants to bring strongholds down in all of our lives. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a great series. And so let's get started with laying the foundation. What is a stronghold? Because we do need to define it. And it's going to take weeks to elaborate on the definition. But what do I mean and what did Paul mean when he said that we need to pull down? We need to bring down these strongholds and high things and imaginations and every thought bring it captive. Let me just give you some biblical context of how strongholds was used. Because when you're studying the Word of God and you're seeking truth and then the proper application of the truth, you need to know how that subject applies to the whole Word of God. So in 1 Samuel chapter 23, if you're taking notes, 1 Samuel 23, verse 14, 19, and 29, David was fleeing from an ensuing enemy, King Saul. And the Bible says in those three scriptures that David hid in strongholds. Strongholds were caves and dens in the side of a mountain. And so he's fleeing King Saul, and he finds refuge and safety from King Saul in what the Bible calls a stronghold. In Judges chapter 6, verse 2, Israel hid in strongholds from the Midianites. The Midianites was a pursuing enemy of the Israelites. And so the Israelites would flee from the Midianites and they would find safety and refuge from an ensuing enemy, the Midianites. In 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 11, King Rehoboam took his commanders and some spoils, and it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, verse 11, that he fortified his strongholds, and he hid the commanders there, and he hid the spoils there from an ensuing enemy. So we see from these passages that strongholds, in the context as they're used in the Old Testament, are these caves, these dens, these dark places that you hid in from an ensuing enemy. Now, you come over to the New Testament and 2 Corinthians chapter 10, where it says, and Paul says, we've got these weapons of our warfare, and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That word strongholds in the Greek concordance is literally a castle. It means castle. And most castles had a moat around them, water around them. And the primary purpose of a castle was a place of refuge and safety from an ensuing enemy. Now think about that when you put all that together. A stronghold, and we're going to elaborate on many definitions here, but one of the definitions of many of a stronghold, it's a place that one finds safety and refuge from an ensuing enemy. So what, in a negative way, would a stronghold be in my heart, in our church, in our culture? They are places of safety and refuge that Satan finds safety and refuge in from an ensuing enemy, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that thunderous applause. See, when you think of these strongholds, they're thoughts that weren't taken captive, that became high things, that became an imagination, that became a stronghold. And Satan uses strongholds to find refuge and safety from his ensuing enemy, God. That's why if we bring them down, we ship his saddle home. If we bring them down, we ship his saddle home. He's got nowhere to hide. Again, many people do think strongholds are demons, and they're not demons. The Bible is clear on how to deal with a demon. Jesus was clear. The apostles were clear. Demons are to be cast out. You can't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus or an apostle or a disciple said to cast out strongholds. You can't cast out a stronghold. You got to bring that puppy down. You cast out devils, you bring down, you pull down strongholds. So Nehemiah comes along, and I love Nehemiah. In Nehemiah 1:7, he tells us and teaches us that strongholds and a stronghold can be positive. He says that the Lord our God is a stronghold in time of trouble. See, God is my stronghold that I run into fleeing an ensuing enemy, the devil. I find refuge in my God. I find safety in my God. I'm protected in Him, with Him, by Him, through Him. He is truly a stronghold in my life. See, I discovered that negative strongholds come one thought or one brick at a time and turn into a castle. And so do positive strongholds from God, one thought at a time, one brick at a time. And you're either building positive strongholds to find refuge in, or you're building negative strongholds that the enemy is going to ensnare you and enslave you by. Man, I tell you, I want some positive strongholds in my life. Whatever Paul was talking about, I want to bring that puppy down. And so do you, or you wouldn't be in a school like this. You wouldn't be a part of Victory Life if you didn't want to change, if you didn't want to see the power of God, if you didn't want your life touched and changed and be able then, yielding to God and Him being your stronghold now, where you can now minister to other people, you wouldn't be a part of Victory Life. You certainly wouldn't be a part of this great college. So we are going to pull these puppies down. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to gather together and assemble together and operate in our true warfare, use our spiritual weapons to bring, again, strongholds down. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. God has called Jeremiah. God has sanctified Jeremiah, set him apart. Even as he has sanctified you, even as he has sanctified us and set us apart. And here's his assignment. And I just find his assignment amazing. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we'll start with the King James Bible. Look at verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth and said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now we as the people of God must believe that God has anointed our lips, that he has touched our mouth, that sweet and bitter water are no longer going to come out of this well. Blessings and cursings are no longer going to come out of this well. We are going to speak words of blessing over our hearts and lives. We're going to speak words of blessings and power over our family, over our children and our grandchildren, over our church. One of the reasons so many churches are bound by strongholds is what people are saying about it. One brick at a time, they're speaking words of death and defeat and darkness. That's not how Victory Life works. We don't ignore our problems or our issues or situations. We certainly have them, but we focus on God and his love and his power, and we're overcoming these problems by the grace and glory of God. Amen. We got problems in our church. Somebody asked me the other day again, you mean we got problems in our church? Of course we do. You're here. If it was just Sue and I, we'd be a perfect church. But people started showing up, amen? And we all got issues. But God wants to anoint our mouths. This isn't just for Jeremiah. God wants to touch your mouth, your words. And he wants to put his words in your mouth. And when you speak his word under the anointing of God, it will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that which he pleases, and it'll prosper in the place whereinto he sends it. Well, I'm sending it into your heart right now, and it is going to prosper you in Jesus' name. I'm speaking words of life. My words are spirit, and they are life. And bodies of truth. I'm not just talking. I'm not giving a speech. I'm a messenger of the covenant of God. And I'm speaking bodies of truth. My words, like my Savior's words, are spirit and life. And when I speak, bodies of truth are being deposited into your heart. And if you will not abort that seed that's going into the womb of your heart, it will take root, and in time it will bear fruit. And part of that bearing fruit is pulling them strongholds down in your heart and life. Hallelujah. If we want our church to grow, and we want our church to be a blessing, and we want our church to be a stronghold. Oh, I'm about to preach now. God wants our church to be a stronghold. Hallelujah. He wants people to come to our church and find refuge and safety from an ensuing enemy. Hallelujah. He wants them to come in here and they go, whoo, it feels good in here. What is happening to me? Man, when that preacher speaks, I'm ready to shout. Because it's going into your heart. Churches are to be strongholds in a community. One of the greatest things that's happened in pastoring that I just thank God for is I can't tell you the hundreds of people that have come to our church and testified of, I'm talking about saved people and I'm talking about lost people. And you may not agree with this, but just hang on to it. Even lost people would come to our church and sit there and feel peace. They would be tormented. See, the world is being tormented by devils and demons they don't even believe in. How many of you know there's a devil and demons whether you believe in them or not? And they're tormented by them. We were tormented by them. and didn't even know it. We were blinded by them before we got saved and didn't even know it. We were manipulated
by them.
We were manipulated puppets by principalities and powers and didn't even know it. And so they will come into the church, and because the church is a stronghold because of the presence of the Lord. We're the body of Christ. Nod your head and act spiritual on this one. We are the body of Christ. And so these people under torment would just come to church and sense a peace that as soon as they were gone, it was gone. And so they just decided to come back. And we introduced them to the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. Can't tell how many Christians have come up to me and said, I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't understand all of this. And there's things I don't understand. Are there some things y'all don't understand? Yeah, there's things we don't understand. But just gathering together, assembling. Not just gathering, not a mob, but assembled. See, the church is an assembly. Anybody at Christmas time hate those big boxes? You look at the picture and you say, I like that. I'm giving that to my kid. You bring it home, you open it up, and it ain't like what it looked like on the box. And it says, some. I'm going to sue somebody for that one. Some assembly required. 8 hours later, you're looking for an attorney. Some assembly required. The church is an assembly. We're being assembled. And in that, we are united not only to the head, Jesus, but to one another. And we make up a strong tower of the Lord. I'm not saying we're the Lord. I'm saying we're hooked to the Lord. So people find refuge in the house of God. Doesn't mean they're going to heaven, but it means they might get a taste of it. Where now they make a commitment to be a resident of it. I'll talk about all this. I'm just introducing. It's going to be a good series. Amen. Where was I before I got on track? What was I talking about? Well, I know that. Oh, verse 9. Then the Lord, this is good stuff. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. I'm not going to get hung up there again. But you got to see this. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Now, you can't disconnect that from the next verse. Watch this. Verse 10. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, and to build and to plant. Hallelujah. Y'all about to get me excited again. I don't know about this. I don't want to have another runaway. How was Jeremiah going to pull down? How was he going to destroy? What was he going to pull down? How was he going to do it? With the anointed word of God off of his lips. Hallelujah. If we do not speak into this culture and the strongholds that Satan is building to bring entire nations down, then we're missing our appointment and assignment. You're not here by accident. I'm not here by accident. God's touched our mouth. God's put his word in our mouth. For what? To pull obstacles and rebellious reasonings and arguments against the knowledge of the Most High God. When the word of God is spoken under the anointing, something supernatural is happening right now. There are strongholds crumbling as I'm speaking right now concerning thoughts and arguments and reasonings about the church and the purpose of the church. And so we, like Jeremiah, have to realize we're called to pull some stuff down, to uproot some stuff, See, there's some stuff in people's lives. And I know you're looking at me like, who's he talking to? Well, I'm talking to people that aren't here, amen? That's the first time in my life that's been a true statement. I'm talking to you. They're just sitting in on it. I hear some of you saying, get them college students. No, I'm coming after you. I am coming home. Strongholds about marriage. Arguments and reasonings that are contrary to the truth. Strongholds. The only way they can come down is under the anointed word of God spoken out of your heart and off of your lips. And the church has gone silent concerning our hour and the issues young people are facing that are obstacles, that are renegade, rebellious thoughts against truth, outright lies. Come on. That one brick at a time is being built in these young people's hearts that are going to be strongholds in their lives later that are going to bring them down. Our job is to bring those strongholds down with the anointed word of God. And you know what? I love the last part of that. It says that Jeremiah got to build and to plant. Man, oh God, I wish I could just hear the Spirit of God say, Dwayne, I want you to go all over the world and build and plant. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? You mean all you're asking me to do is just go build and plant? Oh man, I have entered the Walt Disney World of the Spirit. Singing, It's a Small World. But oh no, God didn't tell me. And he didn't save you and me for a generation that all they need out there is for us to build some things concerning the kingdom and plant some things. No, God is sending us forth into a generation that we gotta rip some things up. We gotta tear some things down. We gotta destroy some things. We gotta drag down, screaming and hollering, some thoughts contrary to what God Almighty has said. And then we get to build and plant. I love the building and planting. I just don't like that pulling stuff down. One of the things I am going to need help with is with my time. I'm not even sure when I started, and I feel like I just got started. When did I start, though? The clock. Ah, praise the Lord. Now, you guys are awesome. Let's give it up for the media team tonight. Thank you. You're awesome. I drive media team people nuts. Amen. All right, let's look at the process of a stronghold. Let's look at the process of a stronghold. I'm going to spend time on this and break each one down where there's no misunderstanding. You don't wake up one day and there's a stronghold in your heart. Churches don't wake up one day and there's a negative stronghold in the church. Countries don't just wake up one day and there's these strongholds, belief systems, outright lies contrary to truth and God's nature and plan for man overnight. They start with, number one, a thought. If you take what Paul said and just turn it around, he started stronghold, imagination, high thing, thoughts. So just flip that around. What's the process of a stronghold? It starts with thoughts. And we all have thoughts. We all are free thinkers. God created us in His image and likeness, and He gave us the liberty of free thought. I love our God. Amen. I love the liberty He has given me, the freedom, the sovereignty He's given me. Created in His image and in His likeness, we serve the great I Am, the great sovereign, capital S, but He created us in His image and His likeness, little I Ams, little sovereign, little S. And in that sovereignty, that independence, I have free thought. And God allows me to think anything I want to think. Man, that's cool that I'm not some being that every thought is programmed by God. Sounds like it'd be a good idea, but it wouldn't be His image and His likeness. You have a free will. And you have freedom of thought. And so we all have a right to think anything we want. Isn't that great? Okay, you aren't going to the slaughter with me. I couldn't drag you with me on that one. We all have the freedom of thought. And we have the freedom to think. And we have the freedom to think whatever we want. Amen? What we don't have is the freedom to think independent of consequences. There are consequences to your thoughts. To your thoughts. And so while I am a image or being, human being, created in the image and likeness of God with freedom of thought, God has said to bring those thoughts captive. Bring those images, bring those ideas you have captive and make them obedient to Christ. So, while I have the freedom of thought and the ability to freely think, I must choose what thoughts I'm going to think. And am I going to and choose to align them with God's thoughts? Because God thinks too. God has thoughts too. And I found out, I don't know if you've discovered yet, His thoughts are a little harder than mine. And His ways, I have ways that come out of my thoughts, they're a little higher than mine. And so I have to make choices every day of my life. Am I going to take that thought captive and make it obey God? Here's what I think. That's cool. Well, let's see what God thinks about what you think. And a lot of people don't want to even know what God thinks about what they think. So that thinking goes to a high thing. It goes from thoughts now and freedom of thought to a high thing. A high thing, listen, is lofty opinions, proud reasonings. A high thing is exalting your thoughts above the thoughts of God. A high thing is when your thoughts are set up against the knowledge of God. See, I have a choice with what I think. I can, according to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, I could come together with God and let us reason together, because God likes to talk about your thoughts. And He likes to compare His thoughts with yours. And so I make the choice to bring my thoughts to God. Then I adopt God's thoughts for my thoughts. Or I say, you know what? I think I'm going to exalt. I have a lofty opinion of my thoughts. Have you met anybody that's pretty proud of their opinion? Some of you haven't been to church. People are proud of their opinion. I mean, they'll hit me up after services. Pastor, if you want my opinion. Well, there was a reason we didn't ask. I've gotten people so mad at me for that. I don't mean I don't listen to other people. I'm not talking about a staff meeting where there's freedom of thought and exchange of opinions and diversity of thought and creativity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when we're seeking wisdom or we're seeking God, I don't want your opinion and I don't even want my opinion. I want God's opinion. That's what I'm talking about. So we have these lofty opinions of our thoughts, and we literally will set our thoughts above the knowledge of God. God says that this is an abomination. But you know, I don't know. The professors say, the government says, the Supreme Court says, mom and dad said. And so you just evolve now from thoughts that we all have to a high thing. And now we're in trouble. I said, now we're in trouble. Because it goes to the third stage of an imagination. An imagination. What is that? Listen, hostile philosophies against God. See, when the thought comes first, there's no hostility in my heart toward God. You know, I think this is the truth. God says, No, here's the truth. Then I say, I don't know, you know, God, that you can't really believe the Bible. It's a pretty archaic book. So I exalt my thoughts. There's no hostility yet. If it morphs into an imagination, now it is hostility against the knowledge of God. It is hostile toward God. Imagination, this word imagination means literally argumentative reasonings against God. You ever met somebody that their thoughts are different than your thoughts, but there's healthy debate? Isn't that fun? Have you ever met somebody that their thoughts are different than your thoughts, and it's not a healthy debate, but your nose isn't going to bleed after the conversation? That'll hit the rest of you later. I'm running out of time. But have you ever met somebody that their thoughts versus your thoughts now creates hostility and argumentative reasonings? You know, everybody ought to pastor for an hour. The experiences you would have in an hour. I love pastoring. And I can't tell how many people will come up to me after I minister and they'll have a question, and there's nothing wrong with that. They might even have a disagreement, and there's nothing wrong with that. They're free thinkers. I'm not here to manipulate your thinking. I'm not a politician. I'm not here to manipulate your thinking. I'm not of the world. I'm not trying to mold you and conform you into a mold. I'm here to just share the truth under power that if you choose to, it'll bring down some strongholds. So you talk to them, and they're asking questions, or they're saying, well, I'm not sure I agree with that. And then there's other people. You can see a stronghold walking down the aisle. This will hit you better later when I'm through with this series. And I mean, when they don't ask a question even. And if they do ask a question, it's to lead you somewhere else. They don't want the answer. They did this to Jesus all the time. They loved their strongholds. They were not going to let the word come between them and what they believed. Did you know in Jesus' day, they would not let Jesus, the word, come between them and what they believed? Strongholds. It's no different today. People won't let what they believe or the word, God's word, come between them and what they believe. They're strongholds. People believe lies. Those are called strongholds. And these people attack you. I remember when you could discuss issues of perversion in the culture, and you didn't have to fear being sued. You didn't have to fear being picketed at your church. You didn't have to fear losing your 501c3. You didn't have to fear being accosted on the front page of a newspaper. But see, that thought of perversion went to a high thing. Then it went to an imagination. And now it is a stronghold in some people's lives. And they're not asking me anymore in all these perversions in our culture to just be tolerant and loving. They're asking me to embrace it and accept it and affirm it. And if I don't, are you with me? I'm teaching you there are strongholds in our culture now that people are hostile toward God's word, hostile toward holiness, hostile toward purity, hostile. See, can you at least remember in church when the preacher would say, hey, we got to quit sleeping with other people's wives, and nobody got upset? Hey, we got to quit all this fornicating, guys. Thank you, preacher. Tell my kids that. Say it again, preacher. Come on. Y'all aren't getting this, and thank God I'm running out of time. Now, even in the church, people are hostile, argumentative against God's word. How's that happen? One thought at a time. One allowing a brick of a lie to be laid, creating a castle at a time. Let me go over them again in closing, because this one's powerful. Hostile philosophies against God, argumentative reasoning against God. Listen, theories that are unassailable. Theories that are unassailable. Do you know that people used to be saying, and you could disagree with evolution and it not cause a lawsuit? But it's become a stronghold. There's a stronghold in our culture called global warming. It's an unassailable theory. If you don't believe in it, you are stupid. You're a redneck hayseed preacher. I'm stuck here in Colorado. How's that global warming working out for you? See, there's not healthy debate about it. It's an unassailable theory, and if you don't believe it, you are dumb. And we, whether you believe it or not, are going to tax you for it. And we are going to take your businesses away from you. We're going to shut you down because you're destroying the planet. We're going to make it impossible for you to drive an SUV. Because you're killing the planet. Stupid. And now I'm spitting. It's time to quit. Hallelujah. I'm sniffing and snorting like a Brahma bull. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I watched The Lion King with the grandkids, and I love that movie, and I love those hyenas when they said, one of the hyenas said, Mufasa, and the other hyena went, ooh.
Say it again. Mufasa. Say it again. I'll be glad when we see the day again when I say, Jesus is Lord, and everybody goes, ooh. Say it again. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. That means you cannot destroy the planet he created that he is upholding by the power of his word. Hallelujah. And you should shiver at the awesomeness of God, not theories that are unassailable, that are now becoming strongholds. Well, that was the introduction. Did you get anything? Thank you, Jesus. Man, I love you guys. I'm going to dismiss the services to the resident pastors, and I'm just praying that at the altars there would be an anointing, and that strongholds would be brought down. I love you.